This is a little embarrassing, but these pants that I'm wearing don't fit. Are these your pants? They are. I thought so. I'm sorry.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Here, I've...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's what it's called. Live with it. Hey, what's up? What's up? How you doing? Welcome to the program. Hey, high five me. Nice. Welcome to the program. My name is, this is the part that always throws me. Bernie Sanders? I don't remember. But anyway, welcome to the show. How are you? Good to see you. I hope you're feeling okay. I know a lot of people who have what they call the sniffles. You know what that is? That's where you got a little bit of nasally stuff going on. You got a little bit of post-nasal drip. I don't know what the pre-nasal drip would be, but there's post-nasal drip going on. That's when the phlegm starts dripping down the back of your throat, and it causes your throat to tickle, and you start coughing uncontrollably, and then it gets drips down the back of your throat into your lungs and stuff, and you start coughing, and your throat gets real sore from all the phlegm dripping down. It's just constant phlegm, 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 phlegm. Dripping down like a waterfall, like Niagara Falls, just inundating your whole system with phlegm. And how does phlegm continue to be manufactured? I mean, I know manufacturing plants that don't put out half as much stuff as your body puts out phlegm. It just keeps going and going. Where does it come from? How is there a factory? Is it in the olfactory part of your nose? Where is the phlegm coming from? What is causing the phlegm to keep dripping and dripping and dripping? It's like an endless supply. It's like you've got a water tank on the top of your head with a hose going up your nose and then down the back of your throat. But there is no water tank on your head, no phlegm tank. It's just phlegm. And by the way, phlegm is spelled like all wrong. Phlegm should be F-L-E-M. Let's face it. You know it and I know it. Bob Dole knows it. It should be F-L-E-M-M. Let's turn this language around. Let's make America great again. Donald Trump becomes president, we'll be all spelling phlegm, F-L-E-M, because that'll be the proper thing, because he's not politically correct. I'm drinking green tea. I made a New Year's resolution to drink green tea. I've been reading that green tea has a lot of properties. I don't know what the hell they are. It's just a green tea leaf, pretty much. I love the tea. I love the green tea. Let's take a phone call. This is probably going to be from an agent. Yeah, let's see what happens here. We'll do this live. New England Broadcasting.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah, hi.
It's Michelle in Las Vegas. When we call you back
yes.
for this taped interview,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know roughly when you're going to air this?
2 years from now.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay, it'll be tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yep.
Okay. All right, awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll call you back shortly.
Thanks.
We're up and running again.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. See, that happens to me all the time. I joke with people, hey, Ron, when do you think that the interview is going to be aired? In 2 years. And I expected a little chuckle, a little bit of a guffaw, a little bit of a, oh, you are so witty. That's probably why you have a talk show. Things like that. Oh, man, I would love to have sex with you because you are so witty. And witty equals sex for me, I expected her to say. But no, instead she responds by saying, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Okay, you heard everything else I said, but you didn't hear that. I think what she was saying was, I can't believe you said 2 years. Are you serious? Is that supposed to be funny? I'm just going to make believe I didn't hear you. And I think that's what, I don't know. We could play it back again, but to be honest with you, I have more important things to do with my life. And I'm sure you have more important things to do with your life than to listen to that stupid little conversation again. Now, she's calling live from Las Vegas. Right now, I'll be honest with you, right now it's like 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm doing this thing, okay? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Las Vegas, what is it, like like 4 o'clock in the morning or something, or 5 o'clock in the morning? What the hell's wrong with you people? What the hell's wrong with you people? It's a price you pay to speak to me in Boston is what that's about. Anyway, you won't be hearing that until tomorrow, obviously, or 2 years from now. I don't know which. Okay. All right, fine. That's enough. You know, I don't sleep well. I have overactive things going on in my body. I have quite a few overactive situations going on. It's about the only activity that I do get is within my body, not outside of it. I'm not active at all. I don't do anything ever but talk gratuitously. So I have no activity. All my activity is overactivity. It's overactive. And for example, the reason I don't sleep is I probably have an overactive bladder. My bladder has decided as I got older to all of a sudden become very active. Previously, my bladder was quite laid back, wasn't doing too much, would find a good amount of liquid and urine and would say, all right, let's make a stop and get rid of this crap. And it would be fine. Now my bladder has decided to all of a sudden become active. At my age, my bladder has said, I feel like doing things all the time now. So here's what we're going to do, Ron. When you go to bed at night, we're gonna pee. We're going to pee together, you and I. And then I'm going to feel a little active not too long from then. And we're going to shake a little bit more out of that sucker, huh? We're not going to wait until we fill up. We're just going to give you the urge on the hour pretty much as soon as you go to bed. Now, during the daytime, not so much because I don't really feel that I'm bothering you during the daytime. But when you want to go to sleep at night, Ron, that's when I'm going to get really active because I like the nighttime and I think it's a lot of fun. So I have probably an overactive bladder. I try to tire it out in the afternoon by taking it on long walks and on long pees and stuff. But it doesn't, apparently, it gets active at night. I also have an overactive mind. When I was younger, just yesterday, my mind was not active at all. It just kind of sat there. And when things happened in front of it, it would go, that's nice. And it would soak some of it up and some of it wouldn't. It kind of didn't really care about anything. Especially in school, my mind was not active at all. Did not have an overactive mind in school. Most kids have an urge to learn. I had an urge not to learn. I found any information coming into my head as a child to be invasive. I wanted to save it for other stuff, although I didn't know what I was saving it for, and I still don't know. So I would not accept information. I had no thirst for knowledge. The only thirst I had was for Mountain Dew. I loved Mountain Dew. I thought that was the greatest liquid ever invented. It was yellow. It was like carbonated pee, and it was tasty with sugar. So here I am a little bit later in my life, and now my mind I have an overactive mind. Now my mind second-guesses everything. If someone comes up to me and says, hello, Ron, my mind will say, well, was that a real hello? Was it a sarcastic hello? Did that person really want to say hello to you or just kind of shrug you off? Let's go into the person's past. I mean, calm down, mind. The person just said hello. That's all. Well, my mind says, no, they didn't just say hello. Nobody just says hello. People say hello because they have ulterior motives. motives. They want something out of you. They want to extract. They want to suck the life force out of you. That's why they say hello. So you see, my mind goes crazy. If I take a little hike in the woods, most people are very, very relaxed when they take a hike. I'm spending time with nature. Look at the pretty leaves. Look at the trees. And there's a little titmouse, and there's a little tit over there, and a little mouse over here. And you know, just taking a little nature walk and communing with nature. It's a beautiful day, and I hear the leaves crunching under my feet, and it's wonderful. But with me, I have an overactive mind. So when I hike in the woods, it's, oh my goodness, is there somebody with a hatchet behind the tree? Am I ever going to make it out alive? Will I get lost? Will I be stuck here for centuries? Nobody will find me. Will helicopters be able to see me through the treetops? Is there some type of ravaging bear that's in its little hole waiting for me to go further down the path and to jump on me with its gigantic claws, tear me into shreds, and I'll have no arms and legs? Can I crawl my way out of the woods? It'll become nighttime, and worms will come out and start eating my cadaver. There'll be a wild maniac, a mass murderer who's living in the woods now in a little cabin with smoke coming out of the cabin, a little chimney, and they'll take me inside and chop me up into little hatchet pieces and put me in a wood chipper. That's why I have an overactive mind. That's what an overactive mind is. So that means that I have trouble sleeping. So I've tried various things. Now, I think I snore a little bit because a couple of my neighbors who live 2 miles away say that I do. But I'm not sure. I've tried to record myself when I'm sleeping, but it's really quite boring because I tend not to say anything. And I don't hear a lot of snoring. I don't know what I'm listening to, maybe a freight train. I don't know what that is. A tornado coming through. I'm not too sure what that noise is, but I don't think it's me snoring. So that doesn't work. The recording doesn't work. So I need to somehow get myself to sleep. So I've tried various sleep aids, and they don't seem to work. I've tried melatonin. Melatonin is an interesting thing. I believe it's something that should be made in our body, but in my body, we don't make it anymore. We've shut down manufacturing of melatonin, and quite a few other chemicals also have stopped being produced in my body. I think it's a work slowdown. I think most of my body chemical production has moved to Mexico or something where labor is cheaper. I really don't know the reason. But my body is not producing a lot of melatonin, and I guess you need melatonin to relax in order to sleep. So I take a sleep aid which has melatonin in it. I take herbal sleep aids because I can't pronounce herbal properly. I think it's herbal, like phlegm, but I don't know. So I take this thing before I go to bed, and for a couple of weeks, it actually mellowed me out, and I would have a pretty decent night's sleep. After 2 weeks, my body says, all right, I'm on to you now. You're taking it every night. I'm starting to become used to it. It's not going to work anymore, you asshole. My body actually calls me names. It's degrading to me. My body is very degrading to me. It treats me really poorly. After all I've done through it for the years, my body is not responding accordingly. I've tried valerian root. Have you ever had that? Did you ever smell valerian root? Take the little pill and put it up to your nose. It smells like someone took a shit in your pill bottle. But it puts you to sleep. Who knew? Who knew that something that smells like turds puts you to sleep? But it's true. You want to go to the store, buy a little bottle of valerian root. Comes in little capsules, and you can actually open up the capsules, and why you would, I have no idea. That stuff literally smells like shit. One of nature's little ironies, I suppose. I've also started eating a lot of turkey because I remember that the turkey has tryptophan in it, and I don't know what the hell that is. I don't know what a tryptophan is. I've tripped over fans before in the summer, the little table fans. When I leave them on the floor, I will fall over them. But other than that, I don't know what tryptophan is. It's found in turkey. Mm-hmm. Not the country of turkey, but the food of turkey. I get those two confused all the time. Ron, would you like to go to turkey farm? That sounds interesting. Where is it? Well, in Turkey, obviously. Oh, no, then I don't want to go. I have no desire to go to Turkey. I'm sure it's a very nice place. I wonder if there are any turkeys in Turkey. Have you ever thought about that? See, overactive mind. Who would come up with something like that? Who would even think of something like that? An overactive mind person with an overactive bladder. I don't know if there are any turkeys in Turkey. I believe there are not, because I don't think there are any trees in Turkey. I don't think there's any vegetation in Turkey. I don't think anything's in Turkey except for sand and adobe huts and Turkish people and Turkish taffy. Do you remember Turkish taffy? Okay, that's enough. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I guess something will happen. I really don't know.
Seriously, if this guy was any cooler, he would be pronounced dead. He's Ron Van Dam, and this is The Ron Van Dam Show.
Yeah, today's supposed to be nice out, it's supposed to be blue skies outside, but the temperature, the wind chill factor today is supposed to be like 2 degrees. Maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe it's as high as 4, but I'm really making it dramatic by saying it's in 2. I've cut the degrees in half. Isn't that weird? 4 degrees is really cold. If you cut that in half, it's only 2 degrees, not that much of a difference. There, half doesn't make too much of a difference. If it was 100 degrees outside, you'd be boiling your ass off. But if it was half of that, it'd be 50 degrees and you'd be wearing a sweater. So life is very strange in that way, isn't it? I got to tell you, I had a revelation yesterday and I became quite sad. Because there are many things that I miss in life when you get older. And I'm not meaning to sound like I'm 100 years old, but when you get older, which we all do, you start to miss some of the things that you grew up with. And yesterday, I realized that I'm missing something that I really loved. A place that I went where I felt just really good about myself. When I felt sad and lonely and confused, there was always a place for me to go. And that place was Radio Shack. As you may know, I hope you know, I hope you follow the news, Radio Shack went out of business about 6 months ago. Sprint, the cell phone extraordinaire company, took over all their locations. There is no more Radio Shack. I grew up with Radio Shack. Radio Shack was in my blood. Radio Shack had everything. It was the cheap version of everything you could ever want. They had batteries. They had headphones. They had those little things that you plug into other things to make the other things work. They had all of those things. They had little parts of things that you couldn't get in other parts. And if you were into electronics and gadgets, they had them all. They had science kits. They had nuclear fission kits. They had little electric pianos that cost very little money. They had little microphones, little karaoke machines you could sing into. It was my Christmas gift emporium. It was Radio Shack. If I needed a little radio or something, Radio Shack had one, and it was affordable. If I needed a stereo system, Radio Shack had it, and it was affordable. They even had little TVs. They had everything. Cell phones, you name it. My go-to place was Radio Shack. But now, it's gone. But it's not forgotten. because my mind lives on. The store is still open in my mind. It has weirder hours, but it's still open in my mind. If I had a question about anything electronic, how anything hooked up to anything else, there'd be my Radio Shack guy. Usually it was some poor Caucasian who couldn't do any more but earn minimum wage, or some guys from the hood who just had nowhere else to go and liked wearing name badges that said Radio Shack, Bob. But they were my experts. They knew a little bit about everything and a lot about nothing. But they had it all the gadgets, all the latest stuff. They had remote control helicopters before there were remote control helicopters. They had it all. All of it. They had it. They were the first people to actually make batteries feel important. You could walk into a Radio Shack and you might be low on AA batteries, and they'd have them on sale always. 700 batteries for $3. And then you'd pay for it, and a guy behind the desk would want to know your name, your telephone number, your email address, your bowling shoe size, the last five people you slept with, your social security number, your PIN number on all your credit cards and your debit cards, where you lived, how long you lived there, why you lived there, did you have a criminal record, would you like to have a criminal record? And I would respond by saying, but I'm only buying batteries. But it didn't matter, because they were Radio Shack. And when they opened up, way back ago, there's your grammar lesson for today, way back ago. they were a Tandy company. I guess their corporation was called the Tandy Corporation, T-A-N-D-Y, which always sounded to me like an easy bake oven company. I could never figure out why a huge company like that with so many locations would be a Tandy company. Everybody knew it was the cheapest stuff in the world, most of it produced by a company out of Long Island City called Recaton, for which I worked as a domestic purchasing agent for quite some time. Seriously, I'm not kidding you about that. So I know. Radio Shack, man, I'll miss you. I'll miss you and I'll kiss you. You were my place. You were my little Tandy Corporation. I would buy all your stuff, man. I would buy your stuff, and then I'd paint over the little sign on all your stuff that said Radio Shack, because I was too embarrassed to have a Radio Shack piece of equipment. So I'd make up my own little signs that said Panasonic or Sony, and I'd stick it on the Radio Shack stuff, and nobody ever knew. It all worked. It always worked. It was reliable, cheap, but reliable, all in one store. It was my Disney World for a long time in my life. But now it's gone. Now it's just memories. And yes, in my home, I have a couple of Radio Shack things that I'll treasure, because someday they will be archives and antiques. My little Radio Shack. My little Tandy company. So sad. So sad. So sad.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
It's like every burger joint that I go to is like, your cheese lover's burger, your bacon lover's burger, your burger lover's burger. What's a guy to do if you just love lettuce?
Well, you're in luck, because Burger Guy is proud to introduce the new Lettuce Extreme. A quarter of a quarter pound of succulent beef piled high with cool, crisp lettuce, iceberg, romaine, bib. It's a lettuce lover's dream, and it's only at Burger Guy.
Thanks, Burger Guy. Now I know where to go to get my lettuce on.
At participating Burger Guy locations for a limited time only. Supersize it with our metric ton of fries and keg of soda for just 12 cents extra. Price, participation, quality, condition, variety, and availability of lettuce may vary.
Love that lettuce, man. Love the lettuce. You know, I guess the next big holiday is Valentine's Day. Yeah. That's when everybody's forced to love each other for some reason. It's a fictitious holiday. It means nothing whatsoever. I go to church on Valentine's Day because nobody else goes. And I don't like crowds, so, you know. That's when I'm on my one-on-one with Jesus, because nobody else goes to church on Valentine's. It's not a religious holiday. So all the wafers are mine, and I do a couple of bottles of that wine stuff. I think it's wine. I'm not sure what that stuff is. It's not grape juice. It's not wine. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's tasty. And it washes down the other thing. In any event, the host. And by the way, I am a host. I am a talk show host, so I do have religious ties. Hosts. Get it? Anyway, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I went to a young couple's house. They were considerably younger than me. They were fetuses is what they were. And they were very lovey-dovey, and it was almost embarrassing. It was like people making out in a movie theater, and the film hasn't started yet, and all the lights are still on, and they're collecting for the Jimmy Fund. That's, you know, it's a little not right to make out during that. If you go to the movies and you make out during the Jimmy Fund collection, you're kind of pushing it time-wise. You know what I'm saying? Wait till the lights go out. I mean, have a filter. And they're just very lovey-dovey, and they were calling each other sweetie and peckums. I don't know what peckums means. I really don't know. But so sweetie and peckums. And They called each other. The guy called her his satellite of love. And I said, where did you get that? And he said, what, where to get what? I said, that expression, satellite of love, it is very endearing, but it sounds very familiar. He said, yeah, Ron. He says, that's a Lou Reed song. I said, Lou Reed, I remember him. He's passed away recently, unfortunately. But a very weird songwriter and performer. Says, yeah, he says, and he did a song called Satellite of Love, and that's what I call Beverly. Beverly is the name of his girlfriend. By the way, not a great name for a girlfriend. Jug Tits would be great, or Bubbles. Actually, it's a horrible name for a girlfriend, a better name for a stripper. I kind of got the two confused. But he called Beverly, Bev, I guess he called her Bev. I really don't know. Called her Beverly. He called it his little satellite of love. And I thought, in one way, it's adorable. In another way, it's pathetic. And hey, pathetic one.
Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite's gone. Way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with park and cars. I
I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of. I've been told that you've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday to Thursday with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellites gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of love, satellite of.
Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Yes. Yes, it does. You know, this show is free to you, but if you'd like to, if you go to ronvandam.podbean.com, you could be there already. I don't know, because you can hear the show every day through that. You can donate to the program. Seriously, Ron, you're some type of a fund or something? Yes. Yes, I am. You can donate to the show to help produce it, to help pay for it. I think it's the least you can do. Actually, the least you can do is not do anything about it. But go to ronvandam.podbean.com. And hey, $2 a month. I mean, seriously, is that going to break you? $2 a week, maybe even? Huh? How about that? You know, like a pack of gum and you get like 5 shows a week out of me? Come on, man. Seriously, buck up. I haven't eaten in 6 years. Well, I have. If you saw me, you'd see that I probably did. But in theory, I didn't. So let's get it on. And I take credit cards, too.
Yeah? Oh. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. Oh.
All right, maybe more than $2. Yeah, I'll play that every once in a while. It'd be worth $2. Actually, it's not. By the way, that recording is from the Bunny Ranch they're frequent guests on this program. I find it fascinating that brothels are legal in parts of Nevada, not in Las Vegas, but in other parts, not in the big cities, in a tiny little, couple of tiny towns. And this guy, Dennis Hoff, has made a fortune out of having houses of prostitution that he runs in a very respectable, a very clean way. He tests his girls for drugs, not for, you know, and for sexual diseases. Not, he doesn't test them on history or mathematical questions or anything like that. That would be interesting. I'm not sure many of them would pass, but that's besides the point. But they actually, it's a legitimate business, and celebrities go there and politicians go there through a back door. They can't be seen and stuff. And we've talked to the owner, Dennis, quite a few times because he's a fascinating man and kind of a whack job as well, but fascinating man. And they actually have a telephone that you can call. And we do it every once in a while. Let's do it now. This is, all right, I'm dialing the Bunny Ranch. Let's see what happens.
Hello, this is Madam Suzette. Thank you for calling Sagebrush Ranch, a fine addition to Dennis Hoff's collection of cat houses. If you know your party's extension, please dial it now. Otherwise, listen to the following options. Press 1 for directions to the Sagebrush Ranch. Press 2 to make an appointment with one of our starlets. Press 3 for limo and sedan services. Press 4 for employment opportunities. Press 5 for sex prices. Press 6 to hear one of our starlets in action. Or press 0 to speak to one of our customer service representatives.
Okay. That's enough. Let's not go crazy here. Customer service representative, what do you want, a refund? I mean, what would you need a customer service representative for? What would that be about? What happened? I hired a prostitute yesterday. I came to your ranch yesterday and had a prostitute, and I didn't reach orgasm, and I want my money back. Oh, well, sir, I don't know how to answer that. We're going to have to gift you a manager. As your manager. I don't know how that works. I really don't. I've never been to one before. Don't ever plan to go to one. They're in movies sometimes, so that's probably good enough. Probably. I have no idea. I really don't. I seriously don't. Hey, we're just about out of time for today. You've just been wonderful. You've been so stoical through this whole experience today. I didn't hear you complain once. I didn't hear you fidgeting or budging around or anything like that. And I really appreciate it. You've been very respectable. There's been no screaming, no violence during this program. It's been copacetic, very, very nice. I hope you'll do it again. Now, let me just read you the ground rules here. This is a podcast, so no smoking. And you can smoke after the podcast or before the podcast, but not during the podcast, and it's no smoking experience. I do this every single weekday. Not this. I do that. 5 days a week, and that would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the brain-impaired part of my audience. New show every day, or you can go back years and listen to any episode on all these different things. TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Podbean, on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, RonVanDam.com, just all over the place. And I'm on Boston Radio, WMEX, on weekends, and... I do some cable television as well, where I sit and do a similar kind of thing. And many people say, Ron, what's the point of what you do? And I say, what's the point of you? And that answers your question, doesn't it? And of course, Tori Lagarde is with me once a week on this particular program, and we have great conversations that are wacky and very, very strange. John Shanahan, who does our comedy commercials, our opening announcement, so many characters on the program, he's gold. He is gold. and Nicola, who is our British lady who does our opening. That's actually recorded in England, and we thank her for doing that. And we thank Jason Shaw, who does our opening theme music, does many of the other little music interludes that we do here. Thank you to you, sir. And to all of you that listen to the program, you make it what it is as well. And together we are one. That sounds very wonderful. And it is. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace. And we'll see you tomorrow. Or I won't see you. You'll hear me. See you. And again, all the way from England, doing our open, Nicola, you've been wonderful. You really have. I really appreciate what you've done for the program.
Whatever.
Yeah, fine.